Hey everybody, I'm Jake.
And I'm Allie.
And you're listening to episode 44 of Return to Sender.
Let's do it. Towards the beginning of season two, we did an episode on millennials and Christianity where our guest host was a pastor. And today we're looking at religion from a very different angle. After that episode, we heard the question from many different listeners, what if I'm part of the percentage of people who used to believe, but now I don't? So today we're talking to somebody who's in the part of the circle of now I don't. So we have our very old friend, Spencer Asher, here to talk with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello.
Hi.
Long time listener, first time caller. Glad I was with the joke.
We missed you.
What would you like to know about me?
You're our first Texan on the podcast.
Howdy, y'all.
We've only had New Yorkers though, and Pennsylvanians. So
they don't have New York doesn't have a thing like
no.
Get no, no.
Texas.
Texas.
So you born in Maryland, went to Texas. What do you do? How old are you? Whole deal.
Whole deal. Born in Baltimore. Jumped around a little bit. LA, Japan, Texas. Been in Texas 5 years. Traveled there for production work. Worked on some commercials and some other editing jobs. Originally went there for a company that wasn't hiring. And I was like, oh, maybe my chances would be better if I'm there. And I never got hired there. But I've started when I was in school. I was working at a car dealership and kind of fell back into that. So I've been working on cars and editing videos because I've always had an interest in that. Finally got back into that because I enjoy film. Fudging hate cars. So look at that.
That was good editing. I love it.
Thank you. And yeah, I've been in Texas for 5 years and I'm ready to leave that state. Not the state in general, but Austin isn't what it was.
Right.
I'm just, the world's big and there's so much you can see and I want to see more.
You are a traveler.
I mean, you have been a traveler. I try to be.
I mean, when people that grew up in Baltimore don't tend to leave Baltimore.
Oh my God. My old friend, Steve, I'm not gonna say name. but he's like, he grew up the street from me. He's not leaving Parkville. I was like, oh, where do you live now? He's like, oh, I live right down the way. I was like, oh, where? He's like, I'm going to get a house. I'm like, oh, yeah, where at? He's like, right down the way. He's like, what's that stat that you will die 50 miles from where you're born?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He is the epitome of that, of you're not leaving this city. And I'm like,
you're never going to leave your block.
Right. Yeah. Dude, it's no lie. Like, he's like walking distance to his parents' house.
Oh, still. You would have to drag me out of here with kicking and screaming. Now, I will travel lots and lots.
Right.
But I'll sleep here.
Yeah.
There's so much to the world.
I agree with you.
You said Japan. Did you live in Japan?
Yeah. So
did you really?
Yeah,
because I knew you visited there frequently.
Yeah. So the guy that lived behind me as a child, his name is Scott Brando. I'll tell you his full name.
You're no Steve.
Shout out.
Steve's my best friend for my entire. I like Steve LeBron. So there's his full name. He's my friend.
Shout out, Steve.
Got it out of you.
I know. So Scott and I were friends through our entire childhood, and one day we Sonic the Hedgehog brought us together. That was our core base, is what brought us together when we were
so many friendships.
Not Tails.
Started by
Tails was my heart.
Okay.
Tails is my lover.
You wouldn't believe how many people on the podcast have told us the same thing. Me and my best friend were brought together by Sonic the Hedgehog.
So him and I were best friends. And then I'm 2 years older than him, and two or three, and I became that.
Which is it?
No, we'll go with three. We'll go with three. So
I was asking the hard questions.
So
I'm a gotcha journalist.
Good. Someone's doing it. We had a falling out, and one day I just hit him up and said, hey, would you want to go to Japan? And at that point, we haven't spoken for like a few years. He's just thinking about it. We reconnected, and that's been our passion ever since. And we've gone a bunch of times. And so I was living with my cousin in LA, and he messaged me and said, hey man, would you want to go back to Japan? I was like, yeah, I'm, you know, this isn't really working out over here. I'm really disliking who I'm living with. I'm just start saving up money and just stop putting money away. And I'm just going to focus on moving over there. And as it got closer, he's like, hey, why don't I was in the film and I got him into it, and he's like, let's start a website. Let's get see if we can get someone to help pay for it, and we'll go over there and we'll film. So we started a website that is no longer around, but it was called Better Know Tokyo. And we would go from district to district, highlighting what was going on in that part of the town, and just filming B-roll and whatnot.
Hmm.
We have stuff on YouTube that's just like what we filmed and what we could, whatever. And that's what we did for the time over there. We just filmed
a lot.
How long
did you do that?
About a month and a half.
Okay.
So yeah, we had an apartment. Scott stayed there for 2 months. Yeah, we just filmed a bunch and that was it. It was fun. But now every time we go back, we film, like, that's all I do.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have a camera with me every time. And it's a lot of time-lapse stuff. I've really enjoyed that over the years, and it's just filming.
Well, that seems like the city for it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the time-lapses have got to be unbelievable.
They're fun, but it's like, Scott likes to go in the off-seasons.
Right.
And we'll go to somewhere, and I go, I'm cold. But it's like, we're enjoying it, but you can drink in the streets, so I'll just sit there and drink and film.
So you sound like a full-force millennial.
Do I?
Yeah, in a good way, in the best way.
But what makes me sound a millennial over saying?
I feel
bashing
like
my friends. That makes me a millennial.
No. I think that Jake and I sound like that as well. But just like the technology use, the moving from place to place, the not being tied to like a home city, like those really awesome.
I mean, going to Japan to start a website does sound pretty
pretty millennial-esque. I mean, would you hate that description?
No,
obviously,
not at all. I'm absolutely, that's what I am. I know this.
You knew this question was coming.
I mean, not even that. I know who I am as a person for the most part.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of hard opinions on millennials.
People don't like to be called. But it's older people. I feel like older people are like, I'm not a millennial. How dare you? I was born in this. This is my time frame. I'm whatever. And you're like, nah, dog, look at your lifestyle. You're a millennial.
Well, it's funny because, I tell you, between 80 and 85, people get real bitter in that time frame where they're just like, they're either super hard against it or they're just trying to grasp on to the millennial.
I had a student, they were collecting papers and they got one and they handed it back to the other student. They were like, aren't you going to get credit for this by putting your name on it, you millennial?
Oh.
And I was like, A, you guys aren't millennials. B, what are you trying to say about my generation? I was so mad as the teacher. I got real defensive.
What are they, 12?
No, they're repeating their parents who are Xers.
It's all you dirty Xers out there.
Sorry, I love you Xers, most of you. So let's get to the nitty gritty. You ready for this?
So go ahead. Let's go.
Yeah. Obviously, we were talking about moving away or like the other part of the circle graph in the group of people who grew up really religious and have since turned away from that in their lives. So you're one of the people who contacted us about this episode. And let me preface this with Spencer. Spencer was one of the first three people to hold our newborn first child in the hospital.
I did do that. I was in the hospital.
Yeah, you were.
It's crazy.
So. I was. I remember every time I hear that Sweet Caroline song, I think of sitting on your front porch, you having a cigar in your mouth, and someone starts singing a song, and you're just like, yeah. Like, I just remember that moment very clearly.
That was a good day.
So I wanted to preface the closeness of this because this is a very personal conversation that we're about to let people in on.
Very personal conversation that we're about to broadcast
on the internet. So I guess our listeners know that Jake and I were born and raised in religious households, both went to very small private schools and have since kind of like moved into a more liberal zone. But let's kind of hear your background of what's going on and then we can get into some of the nitty gritty. So what's your life like, Spencer?
I guess I should start this off by saying, I know this is a topic of religion and everything. I don't want to come across that I'm bashing anyone's religion.
Right.
To each their own. I'm not bashing your religion, but I do mainly hate Christianity. Not hate, wrong word, but Christianity is what I was raised with. Mm-hmm. That's what I grew up on. And I don't want to come across saying, oh, I know this, I know for a fact, and this, that, and the other. Because that's, no one knows. No one knows, and that's what why it's what I believe. I just don't want it to come across of there is no God and da da da, and he just wants to get in arguments with people, which I have done. There's when I've had friends of friends, we're all out at dinner, and most of the times when I have drinks and I'm with friends, when I say cheers to Satan. So yes, I grew up religious.
That is a crowd splitter right there.
Right off the bat.
That's funny though. Well, and you said, you know, you started off with kind of saying, I mean, you pulled back a little bit, but you dislike Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably because you know Christianity. It's nothing specific about Christianity. It's just because you know so much about it.
Exactly.
And then if it was another organized religion that you grew up in, it would probably be that religion.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's also the same as saying, like, I dislike Christians. Like, there's not a specific person that you dislike. Well, as a whole.
Well,
here's... But like each individual, it's like, I don't like you because you're Christian.
I wouldn't say that. But in my life, if... Oh, this is really going to piss me off.
No, it won't. Say it.
So in my life, if someone is a hardcore, have a blessed day, Jesus be with you, that person to their core is a bad person. I believe the people that I've met, and it sounds arrogant, everything I'm going to say is,
go
but the people
it.
That I've met that are... They're vindictive. They're self-centered, and they think their God will forgive them. I'll do something messed up, and I'll pray for forgiveness later. God will forgive me. It's okay. I don't need to apologize to you. I've insulted you, and I hurt you, but you know it doesn't matter. God will forgive me because I'll repent on that later. Hmm. And that is the religious loophole of saying I can do anything wrong in this world. But as long as I God forgive me, then it's kosher.
Well, yeah. I think that's one of the really interesting things about Christianity that makes it different from other religions. What you're saying, that there's this like blank slate of forgiveness, whereas
there's
with
the
most
absolution,
right? Like you are, as long as you say you believe, then that's it. That's the end all be all. Whereas with a lot of other religions, there are certain tasks that you have to complete. Mm-hmm. In or like good deeds and such in your earthly life, and that's something that's not true with Christianity.
Absolutely.
And I know,
unless you're Catholic, then you at least got to do the Hail Marys.
Right. You have to confess and whatnot. But it's one of the things that really struck me growing up is that when I was preached to about certain items from adults, and then as I grew older, I was realizing that adults weren't perfect. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, for me, it's fine. Adults fail. Of course, everybody fails. But the problem was when, like, I was taught with such absolutes, and then I felt like I had been lied to. Mm. And it was like, well, damn, I'm a fool then. And I don't like feeling like a fool.
You don't seem like a person that does.
Anyone who knows me knows I don't like feeling like a fool.
Yeah, it's true. I think that is the very... I think... When what you described, Spencer, I think is the stereotype of that Christian,
exactly,
right? Like
the
hardcore
hypocrite. But have you met those type of people?
Definitely. I mean, come on. We all grew up in the church. We've all met those kind of people.
There are definitely people out there. They're very nice. They're very sweet. But I've met... There's a bigger handful. If you cup a hand, they're pouring out of like... I went to church years ago, but it was the priest literally made that joke. The joke of, whatever, God will forgive me. He made the joke of saying that the priest made it. And I went, did he just, was anybody paying attention? There was an episode on 30 Rock where Alec Baldwin made the same exact joke. He's like, I'll just repent later. It's the whole Irish Catholic thing. You can do anything, but you can get away with it as long as Christ forgives me.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I think that's absolutely, I think it's a great description of what so many people feel about the faith that they were raised in. Mm-hmm. And at present, a whole bunch of millennials describe themselves as atheist or agnostic or omnism, which is the belief in all religions.
That's omnism.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would
way to cover your bases.
I know.
Someone did her research.
Omnism is the idea that the story is accurate, but the cultural differences make
the
all religions.
The story's accurate?
Like the story.
That doesn't make any sense. How can each of the religious stories contradict each other?
So, like,
so how would that make sense?
The story...
Well, most of them contradict themselves.
Right. Yes. 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 Yes, thank you for that.
No, I can't.
And don't cut that.
Sorry, Mom. So the no, omnism is the idea that there is this one, you know, God creator, but every culture has kind of changed it a little bit to fit who they are.
That's stupid.
I mean, okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say I believe that.
Right, no, I know. I'm just saying that just... That doesn't make a lick of sense, but yeah. I get where they're going from. They're trying to include and accept everyone.
Yeah.
Saying that there's one omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Thank you. God.
Got you. I got you. Thank you.
But in that same case, why, if I was that person, I believe in that, I would say, hey, just believe in the universe. I believe more in the universe than I would believe in some guy that said, oh, there's light. It's
like, that's interesting because I have always said in the past, like since I've kind of gone away from the religion, I consider myself spiritual and not religious.
Right on, yeah.
I feel like that's but more that, of a universe thing.
That in
thing.
Itself has become such a stereotype.
See, right? And that's what Jake says about
yeah,
my faith.
That, well, that's
my,
well, what do you mean by stereotype? What do you mean by that?
I mean, that has become a different... So in the same way, you know, some of the terms you used before, like agnostic and
right.
stuff, have become... misused in, in my opinion. I think saying I'm spiritual but not religious has become kind of a stereotypical young
that.
Kid thing to say. Like, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. And it's like, okay,
I
well,
do yoga.
But I think that has lost the weight that it used to carry.
Okay.
I think when people started saying that, I think maybe it carried a little more weight. Now it's more like, okay, I mean, are you, or is that just a cop out?
And to cover
that's
our bases,
I feel like a cop out.
Yeah, it's totally a cop out. I think to
cover. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was a cop out. I think when it started, I think somebody really thought that out, and now I think people started hearing that phrase and going, "Oh, I like the way that sounds. I'm going to start saying that." Right? And they just started doing that.
Who said that, Gandhi? Yeah. So,
Google that real quick.
To cover our bases, atheism is the belief that a God does not exist, right? The belief in or strong disbelief in the existence of God, whereas an agnostic person neither believes or disbelieves. They don't think there's enough proof either way for someone to say.
I've always heard, and this may be where it's, you know, whatever, splitting hairs, but I have always believed and heard that for agnostic, it was you don't believe in the God that everyone on this earth believes in, but you believe in a type of higher being. That's not this Jesus Christ God. It's a higher being of something that you don't know what it is.
Right.
But it's something. There's no way that...
Not enough evidence to know what
exactly.
it is.
Right, right. They... Or just the Big Bang, whatever.
Right, right. Just science.
Just
the power of the universe.
So, I know you're going to have a whole bunch of topics.
Yeah.
You're the scientist.
Yeah.
Well...
You're the son.
I mean, relatively, yeah, sure. Okay.
How about both this? You're the school teacher that that is taught to learn, to discover, to do questions.
Yeah.
Same as your job of testing and analyzing.
Sure.
And that So.
I thought you were going to ask me some like serious Big Bang
questions.
No, I'm not that kind of scientist.
It's not that, but it's
well, good. Science and religion is big because it
absolutely.
Is when you talk about proofs, right?
We can backpedal that statement, right?
You run, right, but you run these experiments and you, it is very interesting to me personally, having studied the sciences and to listen to scientists who are religious. So that to me is really, really fast because it is hard to understand how, I mean, you listen to somebody like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was going
to
spring him
not,
up, yeah.
Right. He's not religious in any sense.
Yeah.
He's just
incredible.
Like, obviously that's not true. That's, you know, completely man-made. And he's so intelligent that it's fun to listen to. But
It's
also really fun for me to listen to people who are religious and are also, you know, serious scientists and extraordinarily intelligent people. And it's just, it's fun to hear their take on things.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, these people are so convincing.
Both sides. Sides is what makes it a great conversation. And like with Dr. Tyson, he always says, there's a way I figure out if the conversation is going to go anywhere is what do I need to say to prove to you that either you're right or wrong? What do I need to tell you or what do I need to prove to you to prove that what you're thinking is incorrect?
Right.
How can I help that? And if I present you with three facts and you disregard them and say, no, that's not true, I'm not going to be able to change your mind and this isn't a conversation and it's over. And he's learned that over the years because every time he would go on a talk show, every time he would go somewhere, they'd, oh, you don't believe in God, do you? There, mm-hmm. well, da, 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 every, that's all his things were. Everything oh he would gosh. Go out, that's all they talk about. He doesn't bring it up anymore. He doesn't right. say that he's an, he stopped saying that he was an atheist because he got tired. Him, Gervais still goes out and says, there is no God.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And I love anyone that can say that. But he has to get tired of that question of, why do you say that? Why do you?
Well, it becomes the only question. And I think as a teacher, I have kind of like a unique position of being a history teacher. So like I teach about the facts of religion. Like if I'm teaching about ancient history, I can teach about, you know, Siddhartha Gautama and when he became Buddha, or I can teach about the Hindu Valley people and when it kind of or the Indus Valley people and when it kind of translated into Hinduism. Mm-hmm. So like I've got like that really cool aspect of it. Or here, let me tell you about the Middle East, and here's Christianity and Islam and Judaism, and here's why there's so much conflict. So I get the cool aspect of it where I get to say, hey, you look at how this influenced the world.
So much.
Too much.
Very, very true. Because I mean, what? Any war or any bloodshed that pretty much has happened is either because of oil, money, or religion. All the conflicts that happened over there are big because you don't believe
I count oil and money as the same thing. Yeah.
Also, being a history teacher, do you guys what's your stance on Columbus? Do you guys tell that he was a murderer and
That's what I say.
Okay. You tell your students that? Saying
we talk about the Columbus Exchange and the slavery and murdering of people who did not convert to Christianity. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Cool. Good. I'm glad, because they're literally just now in Texas, just now, 2018, they're teaching that the Civil War was brought on because of slavery. They weren't teaching that before.
What? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's a lot of factors in there other than slavery, but
they weren't teaching it. They weren't
saying
that.
It's got to be like top two. I mean, let's be honest, probably number one, right? I mean,
states' rights.
I'm going to rely on history teacher here.
Number one thing taught is states' rights, but the big states' right was
the right to own other human beings.
Yeah. Slaves.
Yay, Texas.
Congratulations to Texas.
Yeah.
Wait, you can't buy alcohol in Texas?
There's so much religious rules from buying. Oh, you can like buy alcohol.
Sundays.
No.
Yeah,
can't buy it Sunday. Yeah, you can't buy it before noon. And
yeah,
I don't know.
How do you get ready for parties?
We've been in grocery stores going.
All the parties start at 12:30.
You go to the grocery store and you go, you got to wait 10 minutes. You got to wait 5 minutes. It's just sell it to me, dude. We're like, what's 5 minutes going to matter?
Your boss isn't watching. They're like, the Lord is watching.
If they sell it to you at noon, you need to just break it on the register. Oh my God. Stick it right there.
Oh my gosh.
So I think also we should make a distinction between like God with a big G and God with a little G, like the difference between.
That's a thing? What's big G and little G?
So big G God, like capital G, when you say God, is like a monotheistic God, like creator of the universe, Adam, mm-hmm. Eve type story. Lowercase God is like the God of the sky, the God of the air, the God.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, cool. Okay,
it's
right
like
on.
A title.
Because people believe in. There's multiple some religions gods. That multiple gods, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's monotheistic versus polytheistic.
Right, and all of that gods. Is kind of infused in what I was saying earlier, but I know that me, like, when I describe myself as spiritual, it's because there's, like, I guess there's moments in my life where I'm sure you guys experience this as well, where I have these intense moments of,
where you feel like a god?
That's every day when I wake up.
I've made kids come at me.
I mean, I am just, a woman.
I'm the creator of life. You are a god. I'm yelling into the mic.
Do it.
I couldn't help it. All right, so go ahead. No, the intense feelings.
Intense moments of extreme like gratitude or like mercy. I know, especially when I'm running a long distance and like I get down to Lake Montebello, I'm like,
that's a far run from here.
It's very far.
Good Lord,
like. I'm like, I'm so thankful for my lungs. I'm so thankful for
that
my
you didn't
legs.
Get murdered.
Yeah, that I didn't
get
robbed.
What the hell are you doing down there? White girl running in Baltimore? No.
Hashtag Baltimore.
Wait, have you seen? Sorry, total tangent here. Yeah. But have you seen that thing that went online of if girls could go? If what could they do if they guys?
I retweeted that.
That's okay. So I saw it from you. All of them were like, I'd go running. I'd go running at night. I'd have headphones on. It's like,
I'd go for a walk.
I'm sorry.
It broke my heart that everybody said they wanted to go for a walk.
Oh, good Lord.
That was pretty sad. Yeah.
Like Montebello. That's a far.
If 5 miles from here, 5 miles down, 5 miles back.
Get it, girl.
Yeah. You know. Those are moments, or like I'll have like a premonition of something. Like, I feel like this isn't going to go well. And I wonder in my brain, like, what that is that instinct? The universe, is that instinct, is animalistic instinct, like, that's what I would think, like, this is my, but then sometimes I'm like, I feel like so much mercy has been granted to me. And I know the word mercy is solely because I was raised religious.
Yeah, I was going to say, all those statements sound as though it's
ingrained.
Deep-rooted stuff that you're like, I don't believe in a God. But there's still a part of me that's like, oh, no, I need... Oh, what happens? Like, there's still a part of me that's like, I got Catholic guilt still.
Yeah.
But I don't... I like...
Well, it's deep-rooted, but it's also deep-rooted because it's human nature.
Mm. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that stuff sticks because it's human. It was invented because it's human nature, mm-hmm. and it sticks because it's human nature.
I do also think it's interesting the idea of, like, so it's so hard to say, and not, I guess not anymore with technology, like, I believe something versus we believe. You know how when you're saying, like, the Apostles' Creed is I believe, but the Nicene Creed is we believe this, this, and this. We believe. It feels really nice to have a community.
You want to bring it in. That's
come
how
on in for a hug.
So it's, and I think it's Catholic religion is like a crime syndicate. We bring you all in. we take your money. You're trying to show a good message and whatnot, but you're still, let's mega churches. Come on, pay up. If you want Jesus' thing, pay up.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard.
It is hard. And I think what Allie was touching on is it feels so good to be part of a community.
Absolutely.
And I think there are situations and groups and, you know, people that take advantage of that big time. But it does. We're pack animals, right? I mean, people are
by human instinct, like you were saying, that's what we are.
That is what
we're
we do.
Social pack animals.
Exactly.
And no matter as much as we think that we've evolved and whatnot, there are instincts and things inside of us. You're saying you run all the way 1,000 miles and you feel relieved.
That's what I do.
1,000 miles.
That's just your endorphins going.
Right.
I accomplished something. That is your brain going, I ran to the moon and back. That's what you, and then you feel
one small step for woman. one giant leap for.
Did you guys see that Ryan Reynolds movie?
I said merciful. I feel like merciful.
Did you see that movie?
Gratitude.
We're clearly
gratitude.
This is all going to be cut.
No.
You see that Ryan Reynolds movie?
Which one?
The First Man, where they're all upset because people were upset because they didn't show the flag on the moon. It was Ryan Gosling. I'm sorry, not Ryan.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that just came out, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, a few months ago.
No, I didn't
see
that.
It was good, and your one small step and all that.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling played Neil Armstrong, didn't he?
It was good, but they all got butthurt because there was no American flag planning, and they treated it as like a... Because
it was a hoax.
wait.
We landed on the moon! Well,
right, hang on.
Wait, is the Earth round?
It's a donut.
Allie's a flat earther. I want to have a flat earther on the podcast.
Please,
so
dude,
bad.
You all call for a flat earther.
Oh my gosh, you got to find one of them.
No, it's not that hard.
I'm willing to own up to it. I think it's time that we talk about the pressures of growing up in a religious household. I think obviously the three of us were born into religious households where it's not really an option or a choice. That's just your religious faith. And then, you know, the world is considered sinful as Christianity is considered correct. And, you know, the idea of like anything that's pleasureful or takes your eye off of God is considered
it's
a
pleasureful
sin.
Word.
Yeah,
I think
pleasureful.
Pleasurable.
Okay. Pleasurable. I'm a doctor. I can make up words just like
Ooh.
Seuss.
Ooh. Get it.
Well, I did question myself.
Snap it.
Like, wait, which one is right?
Snap, snap, snap. Anything that takes your eye off God is considered a sin, and anything that tempts you is considered like danger or like bad.
So it strikes me as a little unfair, your description.
That is a basic description.
Well, only because... Saying anything that's pleasurable is against the rules or whatever, it takes your eyes off. I don't think that's not the vibe I got growing up.
You had a very different vibe than me.
Degree,
then. I'm gonna agree with him.
I mean,
So on that note, you were asking where we all were being pushed into religion and whatnot. I pushed my family. I was an altar boy. I pushed my family into saying, we should go to church.
Oh, that's so cute.
But I think there was like, not a guilt was in me, but I was like, I should be going to church more. I need to be And no one was pushing that on me. That was me going,
wow.
We should get a choice.
Really?
I was the opposite. But I don't know why. I have no idea. When have I repressed anything? not that anything happened, but.
You did say you were an altar boy.
I know, right? But it was just weird that my parents didn't push that on me. They pushed CCD bullshit on me. That we went way too long.
Yeah, CCD is a problem.
But I openly was like, I want to do this. And I did it for a while. And you also said that the pleasurable and whatever, if you're looking for something fun, that it's wrong or whatnot.
Right.
There's a Twitter account that's called Satan.
to Satan.
to Satan.
Cheers.
So it's always saying, God doesn't want you to have fun, but Satan does. Satan wants you to be happy. Literally the satanic, all that, their thing isn't about afterlife and everything. This is your life.
Right.
Enjoy now. Enjoy everything. Mm-hmm. Why can't your religion eat pork? Why should we stop right there? No, can't eat that. But why is there a line?
So you know why I love the pork example, actually, because it was meant to keep you safe.
The whole reason of that was because we didn't have freezers.
Right.
So 2,000, 4,000
It was an unclean animal.
Yep,
not for some crazy religious reason was it an unclean animal. That's just how they viewed it because they didn't understand the science behind it. But the science behind it was valid as to why they shouldn't be eating that. So it was to keep a community of people safe. And I think it's the same thing with drug use and with, you know, abusive amounts of sex. I mean, it's not we're trying to deny you pleasures. It's we're trying to keep you safe in an environment where you may not be.
And I absolutely agree with that. But then I feel like a lot of times it goes to the extremes where you start to teach abstinence instead of safe sex, not along with, or you're trying to teach.
I think that has to do with schools, though.
So schools do play a huge role because you spend so much time there as a kid. I mean, that's where a lot of these things have been pushed. And schools, even public schools, were religious up until very recently.
Do they still have, when they do the Pledge of Allegiance, they say, and with liberty or whatever?
Under God.
Under God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, liberty's not the problem.
I guess what I'm saying is that I felt like in my life there were certain things that I was told and certain things that were specifically whitewashed, which I guess is the way that it is.
Talk about American history.
Yeah. I guess it's the way it is with every kid, right? You're not going to tell your child, Columbus raped people, because you have to wait a little bit until they understand what that means. There has to be some sort of boundary.
Yeah. I was going to jump to Columbus and say that discussion still doesn't happen, but
yeah,
right. Well, unless you're a cool teacher.
Or unless you have an awesome parents.
So what I think it is, I think we're always in a transition period. It always feels like a transition period. Yeah. And I think, really it is always a transition period. So we always feel like, we know something that the generation before us didn't. And we're now right.
I don't
and
know
they
if transition would be the right word, but I think it's a constant transition. I feel like it's evolving in a sense, but transition seems like it's going from one to the next. This feels like we start at one place. We start with these one ideas. And it grows in front of that, and they go, you know what? That doesn't sound right, but this does. And they go from that, and goes, and it grows from that. I feel like that.
So that's a great point. I think evolution is a better term than transition. Okay. Yes, we're in a constant state of evolution, especially when it comes to
evolving,
religion.
Yeah.
So right now, it feels ridiculous the things that our parents' generation may have done, especially when they were kids, which would have been a generation before them, really. So that seems silly now, especially.
Well, but let's
but
take
these things.
Things
like eating pork and things like abstinence and things like drug use are where they used to be just straight up forbidden because that was the easiest way to get the point across, right? Just don't do it. And now it's like, okay, don't insult our intelligence. We are smart enough to
be
able to do this in a way where it's safe. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the key where you can't just assume that, that they didn't have the same thoughts, 50 years ago. I'm sure people did, but I'm sure, it was just safer back then to do it a certain way. And
I feel like
They're allowed to be wrong, right? Our parents are allowed to be wrong. Their parents are allowed to be wrong. They may have gone about something the wrong way, and we're trying to correct that, as every generation should. I hope our kids are correcting things that we're doing now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I hope so.
I agree. And I do get, like, I get to these moments where I think about, like, oh, well, I've got piercings and I have tattoos. And
do you? You have tattoos?
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, a whole like gamut of things that I was told are like, you're not respecting the temple of God because you have these things. My your body's a temple.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was like, well, you know, it's a tattoo. And I do get that tattoos were maybe not always safe. But I think if we take it off of the sex and drugs thing and put it as simple things like tattoos and piercings, it brings a new light to it. Like, maybe, or like even bring a new light to things like homosexuality. Like these things that we've been told were wrong are clearly not wrong, and that's okay.
I always hear, so when it comes to homosexuality and in the Bible and people taking it way too literal, and we talk about evolving. The Bible from the beginning has changed and changed and changed.
Right.
And people will, you know, take things and disregard other things, but they like push on homosexuality like it's the abomination. No one other species in this world does are homosexuals. That's just humans, and that's wrong. That's not God's way. And I always think there's many things that humans do that other species don't do. Why is loving another person like? That's some, I don't know.
And also, it's just not true at all. I mean, absolutely. It's the same way that people are like, oh, only humans wage war. No, I just watched a documentary where these groups of primates literally wage war with groups of primates. They wage war on one another over territory.
That lasts decades. Generation after generation. What they do.
And homosexuality, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, I've been in primate facilities where it goes on. It happens. So, but other than that, I just saw something on Facebook.
Lions
learn from homosexual tourists that came through. It's just, I mean, that statement was made in an official manner, which is just baffling. But
baffling again
those
three
excuses
times.
Are just so out there. But so I said earlier that we were, you know, everybody should be correcting the previous generations. And I want to make sure that doesn't come off in an insulting manner.
I don't think it does. I don't mean that to be an insult.
Right. I mean it in the most respectful way possible, absolutely. Which is, you know, you should always do better because that's what we want for our kids, right? Always want your kids to be better than you are in every way. And
absolutely.
That includes socially. Mm-hmm. Socially, they've got to be better than you are because we're not there yet.
I know right now in this country, it's a good majority of the people that... They're better. I feel as though from my parents' generation, from generation to generation, things are better as a whole. We're more accepting is the word I'm looking for. We're becoming more accepting. We're becoming more understanding of each other. We become more better listeners to each other. And I feel like as a whole, as a society, that's important. That makes us evolve better. That I feel like before it was there's Catholic religion, this is it. This is you follow God, you do nothing. And then later someone's like, but why? Right. And I think people were afraid to question that. It was, if you didn't believe in this God or whatever, or if you got a divorce, you're wrong. It's not the religious way. You are straying away from God's light.
Well, I think that is so tied at present to economics. Even though things have a far way to go, we're so much closer than we've ever been. Like, if you can imagine, like, being a king versus being a slave versus being a woman versus being a, like, if you were to deny what the higher-ups said, you had nothing.
All those things in the Bible and all edited because of a king.
Yeah.
The King James Bible was literally edited to please him. To make his life, he put things
it
in
it is called the King James Version of the Bible. Right?
And people follow that. That's the scripture of today.
Like word for word.
Think about
it.
Like,
Should I make a Dr. Alley version of the Bible?
Please do. I'll read that. I'll read the cliff notes.
Well, she already started with the You redid the Lord's Prayer, didn't you?
I did. I rewrote the Apostles' Creed.
Oh, the Apostles' Creed.
Can you recite that? I can't recite it. I did rewrite the Apostles' Creed and posted it, but I'll put it on.
Did you post it on the return to sender?
Have I not seen that?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Put it on the return to sender.
I posted it for
this
episode.
This would be a good one.
I will. I'll post it on return to sender. It was really good. I rewrote the Apostles' Creed that pretty much said, like, I believe in a religious extremist who has taken on the church and like blah 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 and lived in a desert and you know whatever.
Well, on that same note, the Christians today aren't what the like. If God was a person today, people wouldn't accept him. He was the people that believe in this Jesus Christ and whatnot. The American Christians today would go, not in our country. Get out of here. They would not be. I need a home. The caravan that's coming in, people need help. I've had friends, families that are not involved in that, but needed help.
Yeah.
Needed to come to this country because they were going to die. And there's people in this country going, this country is based on helping people out. We are supposed to be the top tier. And when you have it all, you help people. That was what you should do. You shouldn't be, we got it all. It's you help. And that's what I think our country has been based, hopefully, on is helping, is being better, evolving from. And I just believe that we should be helping people.
You're good. It's funny to me because I think our parents' generation and our parents specifically can be disappointed in us, you know, especially with the conversation we're having right now.
As I was leaving, I told her where I was coming, what I was doing. She went, "You're doing what? What?" And I was like, "I'm meeting with my old friends and recording how I don't believe in God anymore." She's like, "Well, are you going to say your name?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna tell everybody." And she's like, I don't know. Literally walking out the doors. Hopefully she was joking. She's very accepting about it too, by the way.
Yeah.
She was saying prayers as I walked out the door. I'm like, please stop. Please stop. And like when I told her that I didn't believe in a God and everything, I told her in church. I told her that it was my cousin's baptism. And we were in the church that she like grew up in and went to all the time as a kid. And I don't even know what came out.
You really thought this through, didn't you?
I did, though. When I was there, I was just like, I don't know what. And it was at that point, it was a slow burn of like, really?
Wait, were you coming to this conclusion as you said it? Or was this like, reveal
it? It was coming to a conclusion. It was
really?
Yeah, it was like a moment of like clarity going, and they were doing communion or they were doing something. And I just like leaned my mom, like, I don't believe in God. And she's like, what? I was like, I don't think there's a God. And she's like, huh. And she just like looked forward. And then they did the communion. And my cousin is, he originally taught me the word agnostic and atheism.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing communion. I'm like, no, I don't believe if I went that night, that time or another time. Because him and I, we looked at each other and went, I'm good. I'm going to sit here.
I'm gonna hang out.
I think when they did communion, I was like, "All right, I think I'm not gonna do it." And she's very accepting. She was just like, "Okay, if that's what you believe in, if that's what you want to do, do you?"
Right.
Jesus loves you, but do you? And I was like, "Yeah, all right." And I've met people in my life. Like I had a job where this guy that kind of kept to himself, but was a very friendly, very jolly guy, and it was one of the car dealerships, and we had tags that go on the cars. And every time there was a 666 one, I put it up in my toolbox. And he's like, Spencer, what's up with these 666s? And I'm like, I don't know. What's up with them? And he's like, are you a Satan worshiper? I'm like, I don't know. Why? What's up? He's like, they irk me a little bit. I was like, oh, that sucks. And he's like, later on, he's like, I just want to let you know. You know, don't tell anybody this because it was a corporate job. And he's like, I just want to let you know. Me and my wife pray for you every night. And I was like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. But we just pray that, you know, you find your way and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, oh, all right. But I'm good. But thank you for thinking of me. But I don't know. Please don't. And later on, because I kept getting those 666s and my toolbox was facing the view for customers, And one day a manager comes walking up and goes, so what's up with those 666s? And I go, what's up with it? And he's like, we had a customer that says, why does he have that there? What? Why is there a satanic guy in your shop? Why is it there? And I went, what of it? That's my religion. Of course it's not my religion, but I was like, I can have whatever one. He's like, well, it would make the customer more comfortable. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. This is my toolbox. He's like, well, it's our business. And I was like, what do you want me to do about it? He's like, well, you can put it the other way. Just can't have it facing there. And I was like, all right, well, that guy has a Jesus Christ picture right there. You going to say anything about that? And he's like, well, it's not facing the door. I'm like, that's kind of messed up. It's like, I can see the Jesus Christ right effing there. And he's like, it's not facing the customer. So it's I'm sorry. I was like, okay, I'll, you know, don't want to get fired. So sure. And
interesting. Yeah. It sounds like he was somewhat fair about it, though.
He was. Had good.
Because that story could have gone a very different way, where they were just like, take it down or you're fired.
Oh, absolutely. We and that guy, I've had good discussions with him. And he's a listener, but he was also religious too.
Yeah.
There was another instance at that same job. There was a guy that worked on the opposite side of the shop. He got in a motorcycle accident and he died. And it upset me, and I wanted to know when the funeral was. I wanted to pay my respects. I wanted to see this guy. And one manager knew about it, and they kept it to themselves. They were like, nope, we're not going to tell anybody. And the owner of this company came in, which pissed me off, because this owner, I could have walked up to him, covered up my name tag, and be like, who am I? He doesn't know. Right. So he comes in, and he's like, I just want to let you all know this happened over the weekend. I'm sure he never met the guy either, even though the dude was there for 10 years. And he's like, let us pray. Let's all bow our heads and pray. And I just looked up and went, I'm just going to. And I was definitely not going to make anything. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to do any of that. I'll stare forward and just look around and looking at anyone else that's like looking up. But it was, I think what really, not that praying for a fallen person that also was very against religion. That guy did not believe in any God, but it was a corporate job. He's pushing religion on us. That it was also Texas, so
yeah. And I think you brought up three really cool things that I think we need to dive into. A or one being Jesus. B or two being
why are we doing one or
prayer?
Just pick one or the other.
Two and C, please.
Jesus, prayer, and there was another one I was thinking of that I will remember shortly. But
well, but before we dive totally into those, because that is
they were good.
I guarantee they are. But that all stemmed from us talking about our parents being disappointed.
I love you, mom.
And what?
Oh, I love my mom.
Let's all say it 1, 2, 3.
I love you, mom.
And now they can listen. And it'll be okay.
But she's not going to listen. Something you touched on. She's like, my son, he's going to.
But something you touched on during that story.
My mom listens every week and goes, Allie, here's how I feel about that one.
That's good. I like that. I like that.
Thanks,
she gives
mom.
Your opinion. That
was good.
Whatever. But I don't think I know your mom as well as I know Jake's mom.
No, my mom is hidden in the shadows like a.
But I know
Batman.
I know everyone else. Yeah. I know good all one. your brothers and sisters. But I've met your parents like a handful of times.
Yeah.
You touched on something during that story that I thought kind of related to what I was saying, which is our parents, even though they might be disappointed in kind of the technical aspects of what we believe and what we say. The core values that they've given us, that is what has driven us to be the people we are. When we talk about our generation being more accepting and more loving and better socially than the previous generation, the way that they wanted us to be better, that's where we get those core values, right? Like we didn't make those up on our own. They
right.
gave
yeah,
those
sure.
to us. And when that
right,
guy said
right,
to
absolutely.
You, we pray for you every night, mm-hmm. that was, I think, his version of saying, look, man, I work with you, I know you, I love you, and I want the best for you, and so does my wife. And I think that was his way of saying that.
It absolutely was.
And it's just like, that's such a great thing at its core. And it's, you know, I don't want people to look at us and think that we don't understand that because of the way it's being said. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want us to look at them and misunderstand
yes.
what they're saying.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think prayer is an interesting one. That's one of the things I wrote down that you said, because prayer is so weird in the way that it's presented to people. But in an essence, it's like I'm saying my worries out loud, you know? And like, what's the first step in knowing you have a problem is saying you have a problem. You know what I mean?
When I was a kid.
Step one.
Yeah, step one.
When I was a kid and I prayed every night, I would say the same thing. I believe I'd do the Our Father. And then I'd say, because I used to
Allie was not just laughing at the
Our Father,
by the way.
And I choked.
I know. I used to.
Pater noter in Latin.
Like, there was a point when I was younger, I was this innocent kid. I didn't use vulgarity. I didn't, like, every. The first time I smoked, not even cigarettes, not even, like, weed, it was a piece of, like, I don't know, piece of grass, literally. I went to my dad and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't apologize to him, but I was like, oh, he's so disappointed in me. He's so disappointed in me. And I was like, so every night when I would go to pray, I would say, I'm sorry for lying. I'm sorry for cussing. I'm sorry for stealing. Even if I didn't do any of these things throughout the day.
You're just like, I'm going to cover my bases.
Exactly. But I did the same prayer every night. It was like, I'm sorry for my language. I'm sorry for if I did something to my parents. Anytime I get scared, I would pray, but God, please make this be all right. Please, da, 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 da. Please, Saint Anthony, please help me find my lost keys.
That's cool. Sometimes you need a saint.
I don't say it anymore. No, you don't.
One of the other really cool things, other than, like, obviously prayer being kind of a form of weird meditation, like, for many faiths, like Islam, Christianity, Judaism, it's the idea of Jesus. And I find, as a history teacher, I find Jesus so fascinating just because of the idea that there are 2 billion people who follow his teachings. And like, if you fast.
No. They follow him now. But what about
now?
Jesus Christ person.
Person was hated for being an extremist and was murdered for his dissent of the Jewish faith.
What ends if Jesus Christ person was just psycho? What ends if that person that convinced 12 people that were just like, I got that, my God, my father, or something. What ends if, because there are, I'm sure there's more, but there's 3 guys in this world that believe that they are Jesus Christ right now. There's a documentary about it that they brought, they grabbed all 3 of those Jesus Christs, put them in a room. Which one of you is the real God? And they had...
Seems like the best episode of Mari ever.
But I feel like Jesus was like, in the terms of good dudeness, he was probably
good more... Good dudeness.
He was probably more like a Gandhi.
How can you say that when we know from Jesus Christ is, I'm born from this, woman that's never been pregnant and didn't have sex.
That we know of.
Yeah, right. So we know about him being born, and then it skips. Where's teenage Jesus?
There's no.
Was he
not?
Was he a rebellious gentleman?
There's only a 12-year-old Jesus, and then there's 30-year-old.
There's a 12-year-old Jesus.
So we're gonna skip. 30. We're gonna skip his adolescence, and then he's like, "But I'm gonna. You know what? I'm gonna start my own. This Judaism. I don't know."
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that the whole? I mean, that's the whole extremist thing, right?
That was a good. I like that. Yeah.
And you go, I don't know. And I feel like that's what people like Gandhi did, and people. It's just a different.
Well, when you look at the core monotheistic religions, I mean, you get similar themes, and the similar themes are the ones that we need to hang on to, right? Because the similar themes are the good ones.
Give me an example. If you say we need this. Hold on to them.
Similar themes are the loving your neighbor, the golden rules. Those are the things. It's not the weird, do this on Friday,
So instead of taking it literal, we should take the core what makes a good person. But would you think so? Say you were brought up without knowing. I think your parents would treat you and teach you and grow you to be a good person, regardless, without having these scriptures that say, here's the story. This is what you got out of the story to be good to your neighbor, or a 10 commandment list of saying, this is how to be a good person. Do you need this religion to tell you how to be a good person?
I would say to some degree, yes. Why do human beings put everything into stories? Why do we make movies? Why do we write books? It's because the themes are so much more relatable when you put them into a story that it allows people to not just understand them, but to hold on to them. And that's what I think religion does for people. I think the stories allow you to hold on to those values and to just really soak up kind of the core message better than you would if somebody just told you.
Here's a translation of that. So like in the Bible, they have the whole story about the house upon the rock or the house upon the sand, right? Which is like build your faith on something that's weak and flabby or build yourself on something that's strong. But then if you fast forward to like Aesop's fables, you have the story of the three little pigs and you've got like are you going to build your house out of straw or sticks or brick? And I think it's like giving you the same message of you need to make decisions of how you're going to live your life and you better figure it out. And I think that's cool.
I like that.
I feel like there's the connection of like maybe the fables, maybe the prophecies and all this stuff is just a message on how to live instead of.
But wasn't original, you know? Like the story you're saying what based off the stories that get the messages, but all that originally roots from is telling stories through songs. Everything originally, that's how we learned everything was through songs. Singing.
Well, we did that because the tune and the song
helped you remember
again,
it pre-written
helps,
down.
Drills it into right, you, right?
Before because we wrote it down in English and bastardized it.
And then, well, that's, I mean, so on that same note of going from English, the Bible started off in a different language. It's been passed on. So I always picture the Bible as, because it wasn't written down for the longest time, it's like, I'm going to tell Allie a story. Allie's going to tell Jake a story. Jake's going to tell his kids a story. How much is
this
story?
It's a telephone game.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So the Bible is a telephone game. But between that, it's going to be translated in different languages.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go back to King James and he's going to change it.
Yeah.
So to believe everything that was written in that story of this guy or whatever just sounds very far-fetched to say the story that I started with or the song that I started with is never going to be the same longer down the line. I just feel like that. Stories change.
Absolutely. And I think that's why our generation has been really big on breaking them down and going, what am I supposed to take out of this? I don't want to hear all the ancillary stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do think that process that? Helps drill it into your head.
I had a throat gurgle.
Oh, my God. I could hear that. That was awesome.
Mike really picked that up.
I might live in the sea.
Don't cut that.
But yeah, I do think that process helps. It helps drill it into us. And,
absolutely.
You know, for better or for worse, it's also just ridiculous to go back and go, you know, everything was bad the way it's been done. And, you know, it shouldn't have happened this way. Guess what? It did. And human beings did it. And this is the reality is we got here in a certain way. We can't go back and change that. All we can do is move forward.
I think this is a really cool point to talk about your beliefs on God, because I think Jake has a very interesting perspective of God that I do not. So,
totally unbiased opinion from my wife that she finds it interesting.
He's so cool. No, Jake, when Jake talks about God, he feels like God is the goodness of people and we've created it to be this other being.
So I do. So I
wait, hold on. Wait, let me reiterate that.
Yeah. All right, so
I liked it. I just want to one more time.
Sure. Process. So go what ahead. I do is when I thought hard about this, I took kind of the stories I know about Jesus and God, which is a lot of stories, and I started replacing those with, it's just the goodness of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of replace God with the goodness of human beings and just the goodness of the community surrounding a person.
You strongly believe in community. I love that.
You can,
but you were definitely brought, like, I feel like with, I represent your house, and I literally drove by your parents' house last night. Community is strong within your family, very much so of
it
inviting
is.
Everybody in. Your mom was very welcoming. You guys are welcoming all the, like, when I came here, I haven't been here in 5 years. Yeah. I just walked in the front door. You guys are so welcoming.
You don't knock here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
I live at 3123. Beep.
I was gonna say maybe I should back. Yeah. I was gonna say maybe I should backpedal that I walked right in and that your front door
is
wide open.
But it is. Community has been a huge part, and I think that was part of my realizations. Is I mean, look, right now I sit. You know, not only do we attend church every Sunday,
You guys still do?
We still do. We still
take our kids every week.
Why though?
And I'll explain. So we still attend church every Sunday. I sit on church council. So
really?
Yeah, I am actually on the church council, and it's because even though I do not believe in some of the what people would consider to be core beliefs of Christianity, which is
God,
you know, the existence of an all-powerful being, the capital G, you know, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that an actual human being came back from the dead and did these amazing things. And that was actually probably one of the things I struggled with the most. Mm-hmm. But what I do believe in is the church and the real message of the church, not the bastardized version of church that everybody thinks that it is. And I think it can come back from that. And I think at the very least, my kids deserve to come up with the same core values that I did. And church is the way that I best know how to deliver that to them. So I want them to have that. And I think church can give that to them. And the more involved we are, the more we can affect it, and the more we can understand what our kids are hearing and adjust based on our own beliefs.
Now, Harry Potter is the way that I best know how to translate ethics to my children. And we have this debate on a very regular basis. Does it matter? Does it matter if Noah's Ark happened?
I think it does matter. I think it does matter because you're...
But to them, I say, does it matter if it happened? It's the story. Take the story and move along. And I think they have a good skepticism.
I get that, but they're pushing that it's real.
Oh, yeah, they do, they're but pushing, we don't.
Okay, that's good. I just
so
feel like...
So they know. Our kids know. Our kids, I'm sure, enlighten their Sunday school teachers on a weekly basis.
So your kids are going to absorb, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to absorb whatever. Do you think
your kids think for themselves now at their young age?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they question it.
Well, that's because we've taught them to do that.
That's good.
Mostly Allie, but we've taught them to do that. So they do
Jake
question
didn't live
things.
Here for 2 years.
And that's why we do it, right? Because they're going to absorb whatever. So if Sunday morning they're absorbing these stories that have a good core to them and we can draw that part of it out versus them sitting and watching cartoons.
Now you can learn good messages from cartoons.
Yeah, you can. You can. So, and you do. We do change
depending on the cartoon. Type of shows they watch because we know which ones that we trust and which ones we don't.
Yeah.
So do you think that your parents have a big influence on your religious... They, yes, have a big influence on your religious upbringing, but as you got older, do you think that your parents had a big influence on you taking your kids to church now? Because when you were younger, they took you, and you feel as though that almost obligated that you need to do the same because that's all that you know.
That's interesting.
Not saying that your views are small, that you don't see a big picture, but what happens if you chose, I'm not going to teach them the church, I'm going to teach them these lessons that they don't need to learn from this Bible or from these stories and give them a way of seeing it in a different light and teaching them a different way.
I'll say we have completely different answers to that question. So we go to church with my parents, who I think are the less religious of the two sets of parents.
Both parents go to church though?
Both of mine, both of his. So we go with my parents, and to be 100% honest, we go because we get 30% off of school tuition.
Oh, okay. Never mind. No, do you?
Yeah. So that's for me. With our children.
Huh. Right on.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing about it with our kids is that I truly believe in text to self connections. And I know that the Bible is maybe not the best one, but
that sounds
like
a very teacher answer.
It's the most, it is. Yeah. It's the most widely taught one. So I think that like it would be the same as going and studying Aesop's Fables every week or Grimm's Fairy Tales where like
everyone dies at the end.
Yeah. So that's Shakespeare.
Well, doesn't the Grimm, who was the one that
Grimm's
did the
Fairy Tales? Yeah.
Who's the Disney one that,
and the Bible.
Yeah.
Everyone
dies at the end. Is that Grimm's?
Yeah, Grimm's fairy tales. They're like the mermaids or seafoam. Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I do think that you do learn lessons from that. And if you're learning how to dissect text in a personal way, that's very different from how you learn it at school. And also, I don't expect my children to go to church forever. I've never expected that of them. And I've told them that. They know that this is
Said anything?
They ask questions. They ask like, oh, did Noah's Ark really happen? And I go,
there's people
probably not.
Have you heard about the have you heard about the guy that's like looking for Noah's Ark and thinks he found like some board or some or the
just gotta go up to Mount Ararat. Yeah.
I think the more important things that I teach them though from the text are like when we read and they see the way women are portrayed and
Oh my god, it's so bad.
Right. It is, but
or slavery. Slavery's still
slavery,
in the Bible.
Awful.
How to buy and trade your slave and how
that's that's what kills me about this is because when you look at Jesus and his life as recorded in the Bible,
he's a cool dude.
He's the one who's like, oh, women are fine.
Yeah, we should accept everyone.
Everybody else. Like,
that's a good message.
Let me take this whore and she's going to be my friend. It's fine.
Right. He's like, no, no, it's totally fine. Like, she's just as good as the rest of you.
Yeah.
He's the only one, though.
Which is so bizarre.
Everybody else sucks.
So my answer to your question would be that 1,000% the reason I take my kids to church is because my parents took me to church.
Yeah.
I mean, period. That is.
I'm glad you didn't. There's some people you'd ask that and they go, oh, no. And like,
no. I don't pretend that like,
I am.
I don't pretend I totally think for myself as an adult. Like, do I? Yes. But was I completely influenced by the way I grew up? Of course I was.
Yeah,
everybody
course,
was. That's how it happened. Mm-hmm. So that's why we started taking them to church. The reason I think I still take them to church is because, as I was saying, that's how I learned. That's how I know how to teach my kids.
Right.
If you grew up in a community that, and this is taking it way back to old school days, if you grew up in a community that sings everything and that's how they tell their stories, you're not going to grow up
and
read,
to your, kid.
Read
right.
to your kids.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, find some text and start teaching them how to write down stuff. You know, it's unlikely that that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So you teach your kids the way you were taught. And while the message is adjusted, I use the same method.
I do have a question, though, because I know my answer is totally different from you guys. Like, as a genderized Christianity, as a man in the church, as a kid, like, what did you feel like were your unfair expectations? Because I know as a woman, I have a much different answer of, like, what was expected of me as a female Christian.
So, in my ways, I feel like as a kid, I didn't latch onto the Bible. I didn't latch onto these stories. I didn't learn from these stories. What I took away from church as a kid is what Jake was saying of being a good person and whatnot. I never took away any of the stories. It wasn't until I got older and I was questioning it and going, why are they talking about slavery?
It is weird.
And how they portrayed women. And
right.
I didn't see the messages. I didn't. And it definitely wasn't until I was older that I was like, oh, there's a lot of, they don't treat women. It's all at the men. And it's, and of course, being younger and dumb as I was, I look at it as just a male. I don't, I feel as evolving and getting older, I look at the bigger picture. And it took me longer in life to figure there's a bigger picture. There's more. And I never saw it that way. I never saw it as stories. I never saw it as how they betrayed other people. I just took it as, be a good person.
Right. Well,
and the way you asked the question is a bit odd because you asked what unfair expectations were put on. I mean,
don't get unfair.
Right, it doesn't sound unfair, does it, from the male perspective?
Right.
Point.
It's hard to say what unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, the expectations that were put on. I mean, there's the classic, which is you're the provider. And I would say if I was going to pick one expectation from the church, it's that you're a leader and a provider. As a man. And
as a woman, what are they in the Bible?
They are, one, not leaders. I mean, period. That is
never,
something
ever.
In the church
never,
that
right.
you
never.
That
allowed.
We learned is that they are not leaders.
Yeah.
And then number two, that they are household managers, not household providers.
Yeah.
They are meant to stay home and manage the household while the man provides for the house.
And I think an also extraordinarily important point that came out of Christianity, maybe not originally in the Bible, but later on, was the idea of lust And I think that, like, with guys, it was like, suppress your lust towards women. And with women, it was like, don't put yourself out there and be a hey there, because
don't be a hey there. Yeah, I've never heard that. I like that. I'm going to steal it.
It's from Jake's mom. That's a Jude's original. She's also deeply religious. And it was like a very like, don't put yourself out there. And then when I, like, as I've grown older, I've seen things happen in culture, like Mad Men, I think, is a prime example, where you have Betty Draper, who is like the perfect wife, and you have Don Draper, who is like the perfect husband, but they cannot work together because they're both trying to be prototype.
Mm-hmm. The alpha.
Right. Of the situation, the Christian, you know, white America that they were raised in. And then it becomes, oh, well, we're just going to cheat on each other because we don't know how to be sexually involved with one another. It's so weird that there's like this, a guy is supposed to take care of his family and respect women, but deny his sexual feelings. And then a woman,
God tells you to deny those feelings. Right. Don't you dare try to enjoy it.
A woman is supposed to have virtue and be a good mother and run the household, but not be a sexual being at all.
Sex is wrong. The Bible has taught you sex is wrong.
It's so weird.
Well, I mean, when it comes to Christians and their views on sex and whether it's, you know, good or bad or whatever, there was a guy, really an amazing person, that was an old youth leader that we knew, Chris Triumfo, and he was an amazing person. And he did a speech one time where, you know, I say a speech, he was giving us a lesson at a lock-in, and he brought out these toothpicks, and he was like, I want you to dump out this box of toothpicks. And this person dumped it out. And then he gave this other kid like 10 or like 20 boxes of toothpicks. He's like, dump this out. And he had already introduced the topic, which was sex. So we kind of knew where he was going, or we thought we knew where he was going. And he was like, this one box, he's like, this is the sex that you can have out in the world. He was like,
You
go out in the world, this is the sex you get. He goes, these like 20 boxes over here. He goes, when you get married, you find that one person that you can be with. He's like, this is this. And he goes, and this is the first time I'd ever heard like an adult say this, but he was just like, sex is dynamite. I mean, really?
Dynamite.
That was the exact word he used. Like, and I remember 15. It vividly.
You're like, I want dynamite. Right. Where can I get this dynamite?
Exactly.
At?
I'm a 14-year-old kid sitting there, and he's like, sex is dynamite. And I'm like, wow, that sounds right. So he did this lesson. It was amazing.
That's what it was on Absinthe.
But it was, so I don't think it's that they think sex is bad.
There was like a really small pile for out in the world, so and like a massive pile of sex toothpicks.
Right. So the toothpicks were just a visual. And the way he set it up was, you thought like, oh, this is the limited amount of sex people have as Christians. Right. And this is the wild, crazy amount of sex you have. And he was like, it's the opposite.
I don't understand why sex is such a big deal for Christians.
Because you're not supposed to have it.
Well, again, it goes back to the protection. It goes back to, you could eliminate every sexual disease, you know, in one generation if everybody was monogamous.
Fair.
Religion, if you have that religious belief behind you, you can control everything. Religion can control that. They can control, don't have sex because it's not in God's light. But in reality, it's protecting. I'm protecting you from it. Disease.
Exactly. Syphilis. Right. So that's what it is. That's what when I think of Christians and sex, I always go back to that.
You think of toothpicks.
That mess. I always think about toothpicks.
Good to know.
Dental hygiene.
I'll bring it up tonight. So
guys are still knocking boots. Come on. To Satan.
Three times yesterday to Satan.
Really?
So, yeah.
Patrick. You guys just got up. You guys like, oh, the kids are in bed. Let's do it. Cheers.
To Satan. Chris Triumfo, who you're speaking of, was the father of one of my friends, and he passed away at a very young, unfair age from Crohn's disease. And his funeral was one of the most amazing funerals I've ever been to, because he was such a cool dude. And I wish that Jake told the story of his speech better.
I can't do it justice.
It came off much better, but Jake was 14, so it doesn't matter.
So he heard dynamite and went, what? Dynamite sex?
This is dynamite. I'll take it.
Perfect.
So I felt like One of the things I really struggled with when I stopped having a strong faith in God was the afterlife, because you go to funerals on a regular basis and you go to events where it's like, it's okay, I'll see that person again, I'll be with them again, it's okay, they're in a better place. And that's the thing that this past year I lost, not only somebody from the church congregation, but somebody who I went to high school with of cancer. And they were so young. And I just, like, it tore me apart, because as I was sitting at the funeral, everybody's like, we'll see them again. Well, it's fine. Like, they're in a better place. And I'm just thinking, no, their body's dead in the ground. The only thing I have is what I have of them in my heart.
Right.
And it was the first time I had to deal with death in a not spiritual way. Like, other, you know, I've dealt with death before, but never in a non-religious way, because over the years, my religious views have changed. And I found that to be the most shocking event of turning away from religiousness.
It's hard. It's I definitely think it's the hardest thing to grasp, because on two different levels, you have that Christian upbringing, that there's a heaven, and in your mind, no matter what, that Christian guilt of there's a heaven is, it will, no matter if how much you disbelieve, it'll always be in you, because that's how we were brought up. But there's also a thought in your mind, and I feel like this, in a spiritual, whatever, universal way, we can't grasp eternity. We can't grasp past our little circle. Right. So to try to think of after this is just me in the ground and that's it, is so hard to grasp. To a human mind, I think it is so incredibly difficult. I remember one of my big moments of, like, coming through with all this is of thinking of the afterlife. It was, I just remember just sitting there going, infinite, the never ending time that, that's it. This is my time here, and once it's done, that's it. That's it. And it's just so hard to grasp that there's so much time. There was so much time before us, and there'll be all this time after us.
Oh, you are a pencil point on the timeline of human history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, barely even that. Like,
yeah. Right.
So, and I think that's why the afterlife was
appealing.
You know, I'm going to say it, invented by Absolute. Human beings, right? Yep. I mean, that is why
it gives you comfort.
That exists, right? Comfort. That's that sense of comfort to go, mm-hmm. I'm going to see that person again, when in reality, you know.
What is your belief in the afterlife? What do you think happens when you die?
Oh, Jake thinks nothing.
I have a very scientific view of
that's
of
what
life.
I want to hear.
Life
because
is
I knew
yeah.
when coming into this, knowing that what your background mm-hmm. is from religion to your career to who you are as a person.
Sure.
My biggest questions I wanted to ask was, what do you think happens after? What do you think happened before? The in-between, you know, whatever. But
sure.
The biggest discussion is this little sliver of this man's life, what happened before, and when your time is done on this earth, what happens to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually reading the book Origin right now, which is like the last in the most recent, I guess, in the series of Dan Brown novels with Robert Langdon. And that's the big question of the book, right? Is mm-hmm. where do we come from and where are we going? And the guy's supposed to answer this. And I'm only halfway through, so I'm excited to see where it's going. But that people have always, as soon as we developed the ability to think that far, you know, that far in the past and that far in the future, we've come up with these questions of where did we come from and where are we going? And they are amazing questions. And I think we can learn so much about where we came from, but it's not possible to learn, at least at this point. I'll never say it's not possible, because everything's possible. But
I think
where are we going is such a big question.
I can grasp where we were. I can grasp Big Bang. I can grasp evolution. Yeah. I can grasp things, the universe is always expanding. I can grasp scientific proof of something is real, but I can't grasp anything past human history. I just
well, it's what humans have always done. Humans have always come up with. I mean, you know, we're also reading the Percy Jackson series to our kids, and you've the god that brings day and night, and the god that, you know, the goddess of love,
Zeus and lightning,
all these things. Every natural phenomenon that's now explained by science was explained by gods and goddesses.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the way it
was. So one day we'll get it.
Right. So one day eventually maybe we'll know. But that was one of the biggest struggles was the after. So Jesus and the afterlife were two of the biggest struggles for me is, you know, was the Jesus story
Jesus
true?
The person?
No, Jesus, not Jesus the person. The death and resurrection of Jesus. So like the Easter story.
Well,
that
I think
a big struggle.
The most interesting thing about it. So in my curriculum, when we teach world religion, we teach that religion.
Teach that.
We do.
Well, she teaches all.
I teach
world religion.
World
so
religion.
All the
so I teach the nine
really?
Basic
the
world religions.
Not
public
all the,
school.
All
you
the
guys
main
teach
religions.
That? Yeah, we teach the history of the nine basic
That's awesome.
World religions. It's so cool. And it's my favorite thing to teach because I'm very into theology, because it's one of the things that's drawn me towards theology is like the differences between them. But we teach that religions answer the same basic three questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going?
Oh, why are we here is like...
And why are we here is the sticking point, right? Because people
That's so funny that it's not a sticking point at all for me.
Really? Because not even the purpose of life is, I think, the one that people fight 40, over
42
the most.
There, right? Purpose of life? Meaning of life?
Yeah.
Thank you. Come on.
I think it is interesting that all these religions are trying to answer the same questions and they answer them in different ways, and that's okay, but people have decided it's not okay.
Jake, what's the meaning of life?
It's such an odd question to me.
Why is that odd?
The meaning of life presumes that there is somebody or something giving it meaning. So to me, the meaning
deep,
of life
deep, bro.
Is not there, right? Like,
right. But that means if you don't believe, if you think
because
that
whoever
means
whoever asked that of anything but human beings? Whoever looked at a caterpillar and goes, what's the meaning of their life, though? The meaning of their life is the same thing as it is
man,
for
that is
everybody.
Well said, dude.
You know what the meaning of life is? The meaning of life is to procreate.
Evolution is scary. That is exactly right.
Officially.
That is the purpose of our
officially
lives.
Officially, according
is,
to me.
I mean, you're not wrong, but that's the but that if you is. Look at it as species, that is the meaning is just to
survive,
procreate.
Eat, drink, procreate. Yep. I mean, that is. That's
and
what
Genghis
do.
Khan did it well. If
there
was,
he was
a, if there
crushing
was,
it.
You know what,
if there
though?
Was a scale of the best human of evolution scale.
I mean, is there anybody else who has the stat out there of how
nope.
many, what percentage of human
blood
beings
blood of, yeah.
have
right.
bloodline?
So I feel like that is such a crucial discussion because humans need to feel like they have a meaning, and
they
I
need
don't
a purpose.
Know why that's different from other species.
I can
and
tell
it's okay
you why
if it
that's
isn't.
Different.
No, it's okay.
Intellectual
if it
ability.
No,
that's why.
Fine. That's fine. If you're the brave little toaster that needs to move on
oh,
to the
she
next
was so
thing.
Cute.
I am cute.
No.
Brave
little toaster.
God damn it!
not you.
I thought I was cute.
You are cute, but the toaster's a girl.
Okay.
But I'll say that again. No, you're so cute.
Oh, thank you. But I feel like that's okay. Like, having a purpose for this life is okay. And I think that the reason we've created a purpose for the afterlife is because we weren't satisfied with the one for this life, because this life is hard. It's not always fun. So we created this magical
place. We made it hard,
place.
Though. We can make it.
People
we
don't,
did.
People don't like the idea of not living forever. We've always
oh,
wanted
absolutely.
To live forever.
Oh,
absolutely. That's a good point.
Thank you.
Because you think, well, you
never,
think about
I'm
it.
I'm never that shocked at Jake, by the way.
It rarely happens.
Usually he tells me ahead of time.
I made a good solid point. But it's true. I mean, right,
none of us
we're
can,
not satisfied
right.
living a finite life. We want to live forever, and that's
no
our
one thinks
way to
they're
do
gonna
it.
Die. No one thinks they're going to die.
I want to die so bad.
You want
to like,
die
not
so bad?
Not at present, but like, I don't want
to live
of
living
into
forever
old age.
Is awful,
like, the
right?
idea
oh, absolutely.
Of living
that idea, but the idea that you could die at any moment. But you repress that idea constantly because it's fear. But the world, you could die at any moment.
Yeah. And I think even it's created like a crazy jealousy. I know, like I was sitting talking to other women at work and they were like, oh, if I died and my husband got remarried, like blah, blah, blah. And that's what I was saying. I was like, if I die and my husband gets remarried, I hope she's boss so she can take care of my kids. Like that would be awesome.
Yeah,
She just gave you permission to get remarried right now. That's what I've heard.
That's on exactly. I mean, bury me next to her, not you.
It's getting weirder and weirder.
That's my life.
Is she gonna be a blonde?
I hope.
She's gonna be like a lookalike, just like Allie. It's like Allie or
something. No, don't look like me.
Jake's second wife. Weird.
That's so funny though, because it's the same thing with death as it is with holidays and any other type of religious ceremonies, where it's all these things that were so.
You guys don't have a Christmas tree.
Not yet.
We will. Have
I was going to say.
Tree.
It was like
no, it's
not
like,
now.
I met someone.
Haven't you seen our menorah out front?
Do you really?
No.
I told someone the other day that I had friends that every year they get a Christmas tree, they get it way too big, so it scrapes the top of their ceiling.
That's us.
Okay, it's you. Yeah. And I was like, you know, my friends, they do that on purpose. It's their Christmas tradition.
We're getting it next week. Yeah.
That's awesome. I can't believe you waited that long, though.
Yeah, we
were in Ocean City.
Yeah, we were in Ocean City. Normally, it would have been Happy this birthday. Weekend. But yes, we have 8.5-foot ceilings, and we get a 12-foot Christmas tree.
Every year.
And then the top of it now, we cut off and put in our kids' room upstairs.
That's adorable.
So it looks like it's going right through the ceiling.
They love it. We're so dumb.
I'm kind of.
They don't line up at
them.
All from first and second there. Floor, but that's okay.
I'm upset I didn't get to see them tonight. I know they were already in Betty Bye, but.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is asleep. The other one's insane.
My tribe is my dog. Her and I just cuddle up and I go, I'm going to die alone. What's up?
So you and the Grinch, huh?
I know. Oh.
So the holiday thing, the thing that I find interesting is for my kids, I have to. There's a dual story. And you know, you're an uncle. There's a dual story. There's the story of the Jesus birth, and there's the marketing of the buying things. And then with Easter, it's the same thing. There's the resurrection, and there's the baskets with the eggs. And
I still have the picture of Caroline in a in an Easter basket.
She's so
from
cute.
Her very first Easter. I had that. I saved that picture on my phone.
No, I find holiday is more interesting now that I watch people come together and I find it cool. Like, even though I don't necessarily agree.
I've had people come up and be like, really? You don't believe in God. Why are you celebrating Christmas? It's like, because I want to. Get out of my face, bro. But I've had people like.
People really get on you for that? Oh, my family
Texas.
Must dodge
I'm
it.
In Texas.
Man, oh,
no
yeah.
wonder you have a poor view of Christians. And
Christian.
I mean, this is
just
like, I can't even imagine, even as a Christian, like back when I was a serious believer, I couldn't imagine going to somebody and being like, you don't even believe in God. What are you doing here?
That's
so anti what the faith is supposed to be. But it is different when you have the kids around, especially when they're not your kids.
Well,
so it's a little
pretend.
Easier when they're our kids because we, you know, we control what they consume and how they interpret.
Do they believe
it
in Santa Claus though?
And how we they do still believe in Santa
but
Claus.
But we're very open with our
Let me
kids.
Go spoil some. Hey guys, wake up, wake up.
There's no Santa
Claus. There's no Santa Claus and there's no God. Good night.
We are aunts and uncles, so we have to deal with that a little bit. But you know, like for you. You're an uncle. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just go spouting what you think and what you believe.
Absolutely
like
not.
You have to respect the wishes
of
the
parents,
kids' parents.
Which is hard.
But it's also the innocence of kids that I would never say anything to like I would never say to a kid that's like, oh, there is no God. What are you talking about, little kid?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The innocence, no matter what it is, when it comes to Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or God, I wouldn't ruin that innocence for a kid. Think on your own. Like that's like my biggest thing. Is thinking for yourself. The way I learned and the way I became where I'm at is I wish I could have known what the one thing that was like the tipping point of going, that doesn't make sense. Why don't you believe the dinosaurs are real? Why don't you believe in the Big Bang Theory? Why don't you believe there's no way we're the only beings in this entire universe. That is physically impossible. That is impossible.
Well.
Shut up. You're so. What? You're a joke. No. You're. Do you really?
Jake,
you
get out of here.
Do you not believe in aliens?
Have you ever heard of the Fermi's paradox?
No, I haven't.
I might be saying his name wrong. Fermi
That's okay.
Paradox.
Go on.
So it's literally a mathematical calculation of the likelihood that there is life on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
And the, I can't remember if it's Intelligent Life or Just Life. I think it's Just Life. But
no, if it's Just Life, actual, that's off. It's Intelligent
Life.
So
you have to, you have to make a couple assumptions, right? I mean, you just have to. So, but you take literally the number of stars and the, assume the number of planets around those stars. And it's more complicated than I can understand. Cause
I get what you're saying. Right. No,
But so sometimes you do the calculation and you come up that it's likely that there's 100,000 other planets or 100 million other planets that have life on them. Mm-hmm. But you can make very small tweaks to the calculation, and then the likelihood is that there's a point like 0.00, like 15 zeros, you know, right, to the 1% chance that there is any other life in the universe. It's bizarre. So I swear, it's the,
Jake, do you believe in aliens? Do you think
I do? But Jake does.
Jake,
not.
You don't believe in other life anywhere?
Do I think there could be? Of course, there could be. But I mean,
you
when you
think,
ask,
you don't
that,
think it's a big possibility
to
do
me.
You?
It's
that it's just this one species that was able to evolve, that just because we were so close to the sun and we were in the perfect everything, that only us and this, every universe, every perceivable universe, when you saw that there's a picture out there, mm-hmm, of how many universes there are, there's no way that we were the one chance that it's just us out here.
Now, I agree with you, but I think Jake's answer is the, I'm not educated enough to know.
I'm not educated.
He
Jake
always
is,
says that.
We
Jake
all know
is
Jake
always,
is way smarter than I. Jake is incredibly, take the compliment, you know you're intelligent, way past me, but I know that you, there's no way in mathematically anything. There's no way. What a waste of space.
Well, so I would have agreed with you until I heard of this paradox. And it's because it's a mathematical calculation, right? Like somebody smarter than me went and did the math. So for them to do that.
You can't argue with math.
So somebody
you're the right or you're wrong.
Exactly. So somebody much smarter than me did the math.
Said
and
either it is
again,
or it isn't.
By changing
a very small variable,
it goes from being a very, very highly likely that there's other life to a tiny, tiny chance that
I'll take
other
that
ones.
Tiny chance. I'll take tiny chance for 100.
I take tiny chance for 100 every time, Alex.
So exactly. So yeah, for me, I mean, do I think there is? How could I know? But
that's not the question.
Could there be? Sure, absolutely, there could be. I mean, for sure. I don't think so.
Audience, there is.
According, you know,
there's no God, but there is other beings.
Here's the thing.
Even if it's just life, like some microorganism.
So here's the thing. In the context of this discussion that we're having overall in the podcast, I do not think that there is a God that put life on this planet only.
Right, okay. Yeah, but, yeah. Agreed.
So that I do not believe.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
But yeah. So
right,
I mean, could there be other life? Sure. Yeah. Do I know that there is? That being said, this has been an amazing conversation.
We're just cutting it like that.
Well, this has been one of the most exciting things I think we've talked about in a while. There's just so much to be said. And I know there's so many topics that we left uncovered. But, you know, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad you reached out to us while you were in town and we were able to sit down and do this. But, yeah, I mean, for me, this was really exciting and really better than I could have hoped for.
But it's also to have the conversation without yelling about it. I feel like religion is such a yellable topic.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in arguments with people.
Yeah, I mean, and I would think there's clearly things that we have disagreed about on this podcast and done it in a nice, civil way. where, you know, I hope people take from that example and have these, because these are important discussions. And I think people should have these discussions, but they should have them in a way where they respect the person that they're talking to and that they continue to be friends with them afterwards.
And then cheers to Satan.
Oh, you stole my joke. I was going to say it. I was going to end it with that. There is no God. And to say,
we'll give you this one.
If you would like to join us as a guest host, you can visit the Contact Us page on our website and send in an audio clip audition. You don't need anything fancy. Just headphones with a mic will be fine. Do us a favor and keep it under 2 minutes so we have time to listen to them all.
And just like Spencer did, you can reach out via email and suggest a topic, or you could reach out on our Facebook page. This is really important so that, like we did, we can start talking about things that you want to hear.
You can find us on Facebook at R2S Podcast, on Twitter at R2S_podcast, and on Instagram at Return to Sender Podcast. Links to each of these are available on our website, returntosenderpodcast.com.
And of course, we would always love to hear from you via email at r2spodcast@gmail.com. And remember, all these twos are the number two and not the word. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and get on and leave us a great review.
Remember to help us out on Patreon if you can. Just $1 a month goes a long way.
So until next time, I'm Jake.
And I'm Allie.
And you've been listening to Return to Sender.
I'm Caroline.
And I'm Eliza.
And you're listening to Return to Sender.